Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Banchory Christian Fellowship Church to our annual carol service. My name is Duncan. I'm the fairly recently installed pastor at the church here, and on behalf of everyone, if you're a visitor, everyone who's part of the church, we want to extend a very warm welcome to you. Hope that you are very much in the festive spirit and that you are ready to do some singing this evening. Hopefully, as you arrived, you will have received an order of service, I think that's the right term to use, which will tell you where we're going to go. The idea is that the service will pretty much run itself. So, armed with all of this information, you will be able to know when to stand, when to sit. And if you look at it, you're going to get a bit of a workout this evening. The suggestion is that we stand to sing, if you're able, and sit down for everything else. Also, please do stay after the service. There will be refreshments. It would be great if you had some time to spend with us, and it'd be good to get to know you, especially, again, if you're a visitor with us. So all I want to do at this point is to pray, ask God to help us tonight, and then to hand over to the band who are going to lead us in our first carol, and then we will have a succession of carols and readings throughout the evening. So let's just take a moment to pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we want to thank you for this time of year. Lord, to many of us, this is a special time of year. Father, we thank you that this is an opportunity for families to come together, that families will travel great distances to be reunited because it's Christmas. We thank you that this is a great opportunity for families to spend time together. Thank you that for many of us, we have time off work to spend together. Thank you for the time that we have to reflect on all that's important to us at Christmas. But Father, we thank you that above all, at Christmas we remember that the Lord Jesus came, that the one who was laid in Bethlehem's manger was none other than God himself, become one of us to rescue us. And we do pray, Father, that as we sing carols, most of which will be familiar to most of us, that we would not lose in that familiarity any of the wonder and amazement of what it is we sing about, what it is we hear read about. So we pray that tonight you would help us to truly worship you for all that you have given us in Jesus Christ. And we ask for your help in this, for all who are part of this evening, for those who will read, for those who are involved in music, those who are involved in unseen ways, Father, we pray that you'd help us all to exalt Jesus together. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
Thank you. Our first reading this evening is found in the Gospel of John, and chapter 1 and the first 5 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. May God bless the reading from his word.
Two readings now, one from Isaiah chapter 9 and the other from Micah chapter 5. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Amen.
Taken from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and is entitled Joseph Accepts Jesus as His Son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. "And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. next reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds visit Jesus. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorified and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our last reading of this service will be from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Christ himself was like God in everything, but he did not think that being equal with God was something to be used for his own benefit. But he gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born to be a man and became like a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death, death on the cross. So God raised him to the highest place. God made his name greater than every other name, so that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and bring glory to God the Father. Amen.
Well, the timing really couldn't have been worse. The government, in its infinite wisdom, decides to stage a nationwide ballot in the build-up to Christmas. Who on earth wants that? I mean, speak about scuppering people's plans. Lots of other things on people's minds this time of year. I mean, this really could spoil everything. For some, it really was the last thing that they needed. It really could not have come at a worse time. But little did folks realize that this was God's plan. I'm not talking about general election 2019. I'm talking about the very first Christmas. And those words that were read to us from Luke chapter 2, which tells us in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. The last thing that Joseph wanted to hear was that he would need to make a long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, just because the authorities at the time thought that would be a good time to find out how many people were in the empire. Everyone needed to go to their hometown. The problem was Joseph had a wife who was well on the way to delivering their first child. I'm sure there are many things that that poor woman would rather have done than travel 90 miles to Bethlehem for a census. It's assumed that she traveled on a donkey, and I don't know, she must have had many doubts about making it there intact. But this was God, in his sovereignty, maneuvering the events of the world for his great purposes. And in fact, doing this on this occasion to fulfill his great promises. As we've heard read also tonight, this baby, this savior that God was going to bring into the world, would be born in Bethlehem. That's what was promised. And it was through the inconvenience of a nationwide ballot that God was at work to bring about that promise. This wasn't the only thing going on in this couple's life. The key is that you read in those verses, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He was there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. They were pledged to be married. That is, not yet married. And yet Mary was found to be with child. Certainly in that culture, that was a devastating thing. To the onlooker, it meant that most likely this woman had been unfaithful. How else would you explain it? But in fact, God was at work. This was the great miracle of the virgin birth, that it was indeed God who came as a baby in the womb of Mary. But I must admit, as we read how Luke records their experience in Bethlehem, I wonder if he gives us an insight into how difficult it must have been for this young couple to cope with these unusual circumstances. This is what Luke tells us. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I wonder if that controversial circumstances they found themselves in was something that others had picked up on. I mean, just think about this. For Joseph, traveling all that way to Bethlehem is him going home. He is driving home for Christmas. And if he's going to find any family anywhere in this world, it will surely be in Bethlehem. If he had cousins, that's where he's going to find them, because that's where he's from. But yet, when he gets there, there's no room for them. There's no one willing to take pity on this heavily pregnant girl. Was it because of their dubious circumstances that even relatives were unwilling to take them in, to show them too easy a time of it? Because, well, look at the mess that they're in. They're bringing shame on our family. And so what Luke sums up very briefly by saying they placed him in a manger is shorthand for saying, well, you know, they lodged with the animals. Probably not in a stable, without denigrating our decoration here in any way, probably not in a stable. Probably in a house, but not in the living quarters. Down with the animals. And the child is laid in a feeding trough. We're not to see this manger as a cozy thing, as it has become for us all these years later when we have our Christmas card scenes. But actually, what Luke's giving us is surely a foretaste of what things are going to be like for this child. The manger is a literal example of Christ's humility, which Andrew just read to us about. But in part, it surely also represents human rejection of this Savior. They will not take him in. A couple of chapters over in Luke's gospel, you find that Jesus travels to his hometown of Nazareth. So he was born in Bethlehem, but he was brought up in Nazareth. And you find in Luke chapter 4, he travels back there and he's teaching in the local synagogue. I mean, he's there with people who had watched him grow up. They were the ones who, when he returned, says, oh, well, last time I saw you, you must only have been. When he comes to the end of his message in his hometown of Nazareth, the crowd who heard him, they drive him up the top of a hill because they want to throw him off the cliff edge. What a homecoming. But this is the sort of reception that Jesus gets. And it reaches its peak, of course, in the crucifixion. Nothing more clearly shows to us the rejection of Jesus than his death. Crucifixion was, I would say, about the most wicked way that humans have devised to punish criminals. But part of its wickedness was in its symbolism. The idea was that the person who was crucified was being suspended in midair, somewhere between heaven and earth. The idea being that this person is of such low value that they do not deserve to be on the earth. They're somewhere between the two because they do not belong anywhere. This is a picture of the human rejection of God. What a way to treat the Creator of the world. But God is able to use the hardness of human hearts to bring about his great purposes. Jesus in the manger would be the sign that the shepherds would look for in trying to identify the Messiah who had been born. And in doing so, they would see in the child in that manger the offer of hope to all those who are regarded as outcasts from their society. This Savior was for them. And that ultimate human rejection of nailing Jesus to a cross was what God would use to save us. There, On the cross, he stands in the place of sinful people, and he bears the penalty they deserve so they can be forgiven. This great promise of Jesus being a savior, it demanded that he be the savior who would be rejected, because that was the means by which sinners like us can be saved. Because Jesus has stood in our place, and for all who trust in him, they can have that assurance that standing before God, they're forgiven of all their sins, and they have that bright and glorious future in Christ. That death doesn't need to be the great thing that fears them, but actually would be the opening of a door into fullness of joy with God. And so I want to ask you tonight, in a world that pretty much en masse rejects Jesus, will you be content to just go along with that? Perhaps happy to let Jesus be a sentimental Christmas thought and nothing much more? I want to say I don't believe that Jesus gives us that option. The Christmas story is just too disturbing for that, isn't it? When you just scratch beneath the surface, it's not just as cozy and comfortable as we might like. We have scenes of rejection. No, this has to be a bit more than just a bit of fluff at Christmas time. So maybe you're here tonight and you're keen to learn more about this. My suggestion to you is, why not read the rest of Luke's gospel for yourself? Maybe someone invited you to come along here tonight. They would be, I'm sure, delighted to read Luke's gospel with you. This ancient document written within a generation of the death of Christ that records his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. Read for yourself. Maybe you're here tonight and you know this pretty well and you need to put your own faith in Jesus Christ. Let me urge you to make this the most memorable Christmas of all and do that. Trust that this Savior really is for you and give your life to him. Or maybe you're here tonight and in a sense, maybe you're a Christian, but maybe every day is like Christmas Day in that Jesus is some sort of tag on to the other more important things in life. Let me urge you to make Christ the center, not just of a night like this, but of your life, because he deserves that. He demands that. He needs to be that. So we read of the story of Jesus, and we find that he enters into a world that by and large has no room for Jesus. What about you? What about you? Let me just pray. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is God who has come as one of us. And we thank you for all that we've heard from your word tonight and for the ways that we've been able to express some of those truths by singing to you. Thank you for the richness of what we learn about Jesus come as a human being. And we thank you that his rejection was really the rejection that we deserve, and especially that rejection on the cross. But we thank you that it was the way to save us. And I pray that all would look again to Jesus this Christmas and look to have that personal relationship with him, to know that he is my Savior. And we thank you for Jesus. In his own name, amen.
Thank you.
Well, please do take a seat. And thank you for being with us tonight. That brings our service this evening to a close, but that doesn't need to be the end of your association with us this Christmas. Contained in your order of service, there is notice there of the services that will be taking place here. We meet every Sunday at 11 o'clock, and on Christmas Eve, we'll have a family nativity service at 6 o'clock, and on Christmas Day morning at 10 o'clock, you would be most welcome to join us on any of those occasions. We would love to see you. I just want to say particularly thank you to all those who've taken part tonight, all those who read, and especially a thank you to all these people on my right here who have really produced some excellent music for us this evening. You will do well to find better. And thank you to you for your parts in singing so well. So do stay with us. There's refreshments going to be served out in the atrium. And let me wish you, if I don't see you before then, a very happy Christmas. Good night.